ready for the word of the Lord? Well, before we start, could you check your mobile phones, switch them off, mute them, throw them out the window, whatever you want to do. And I don't speak for long, but let's just stay focused. If you know you got a young one that gets a little bit distracted, well, we've got a wonderful facility for young ones. The main thing is we want everybody just to receive the word of the Lord. Come on, let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your presence today. Lord, we thank you that we're born again. Thank you, Lord, for that time of worship that we just had a little while ago. Sing those great anthems of praise. How great is our God. And Lord, our spirit soared as we worship you. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, we've been reminded about the work of our missionaries. But right now, Lord, we just pray, Lord, for this word. We pray for our hearts. We pray for our minds that we'll be ready to receive the word of the Lord in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Just a little bit of an explanation for those who are not aware, particularly if you're new, and like I said, thank you for coming. But we've been, as a church, we've been progressing through an 8-part series on the first 8 chapters of the book of Romans. It's been interrupted from time to time. Like last week, it was interrupted. And by the way, wasn't that a great sermon last Sunday with John Finkelde, if you can remember back to that, that's online. It was just really, really good. The book of Romans, if you've never heard about it before, and that's okay if you haven't, it's actually found in the Bible. The Bible's made up of 66 books, and the book of Romans is in the second half, the New Testament. And so it's an 8-part series, and we finally come into the last chapter, Romans chapter 8. Now, I've been looking at Romans chapter 8. Has anybody read Romans chapter 8? There's a lot in it. And so this is a deal. I'm just going to scratch the surface this morning, and we'll go for a few more weeks on Romans chapter 8. Is everybody good with that? There's just so much in it. You know, Romans chapter 8, it's actually got a number of themes. It starts off with no condemnation. It finishes with no separation. And in the middle, it's no defeat. We've got a lot to talk about over the next few weeks, so you don't want to miss out on church. Today, what we're going to do, we're just going to look at the first verse. We're only going to go for one verse. How about that? And just one verse. Now, if you're new and you've missed the first 7 parts of this series, I just want to assure you that the message today is complete in itself. Everybody needs to understand that. And so if you missed the first 7 parts, this message is still for you, still for me, it's for everybody. Also here at Real Life Church, we've been trying to memorize some verses. I hope you've been having a go at memorizing some verses. We've taken one verse from each of the 8 chapters, and we're trying to memorize those. And I've agreed and proposed that those who are able to memorize all 8 verses, and by the way, you've got to get up here on the church platform. Did I mention that bit? And say the verses. But I will have some Krispy Kreme donuts ready for you, and that should motivate you if you can do the 8 verses. Let's just have a quick look at the 8 verses. Week 1, we just looked at Romans 1:16, didn't we? Let's read these together. I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Week 2. Don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Romans 2, verse 4. Week 3. For everyone has sinned, we all fall short of Romans chapter 3:23, that God will also count us as righteous if we believe in Him. Romans chapter 4, but God showed His well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of His wonderful grace?
Of course not.
Thank God. Wow, and here's this week's memory verse. Here we go. Therefore, you sounded like you were speaking in tongues again on that one. Well, let's read it again. Actually, every word's really important in this. Some of you missed the word now. Okay, so let's read it again. Here we go. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in
Christ Jesus.
Praise God. Romans 8, verse 1. What a great verse. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. You know, a few weeks ago, we had a baptism service here at Real Life Church. Who remembers that? We had a little pool thing going on here, and it was a great time. But before baptizing our candidates, we got them to come, all of them to come to the front of the church, where we asked them a question. The question went something like this: why have you decided to follow Jesus? And each of the candidates spoke, and I think they were all men, is that right? The last baptism was all men, which was great. And each of the candidates, each of the men spoke from their hearts, giving great and sincere answers, and it was a wonderful baptism service. But I was struck by the answer that Mark Simmons gave. Where's Mark this morning? Could you stand to your feet? This is Mark. Rotate around. What a good-looking guy. He's blessed. God's working in his life. Amen. But I was struck by your answer, Mark, of what you said. And, you know, people gave great answers. And some of you might remember what Mark actually said. Why do you want to follow Jesus? This is what Mark said. He says, "I don't want to go to hell." All he said, "I don't want to go to hell." And I think he did it like this. "I don't want to go to hell." And he did a little shrug of his shoulders. And I thought about what he said. And really, when you think about it, it was a simple answer. It was an honest answer. And it was a smart answer. And so I actually agree with Mark. And when I decided to follow Jesus, and I actually took me a while to get the hang of following Jesus. I started following Jesus a few times. Yeah, beat the heat. You know, when I decided to follow Jesus, it was not to make the world a better place. I didn't think, "Oh, I'm going to follow Jesus because I want to make the world a better place." When I followed Jesus, it wasn't because I wanted to be a better person, or it wasn't even really to please God. I decided to follow Jesus. Maybe you're the same as me. I decided to follow Jesus mainly because I did not want to be punished for my sins and go to hell. It scared me. I wanted to beat the heat. And when the preacher preached about hell, I believed him and I didn't want to go there. Who wants to become a Christian? Me. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to be cut off from God. Anybody just like me? Yeah. You know, I wanted to have eternal life and I wanted to be rescued from hell. One of the religious teachers felt the same way when he asked Jesus, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to inherit eternal life?" So obviously that religious leader, he obviously didn't want to go to hell either, and obviously nobody here wants to go to hell. Amen? Amen? Even Jesus said, "What profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world?" And people are just chasing for so much stuff these days. What profit is there if a man gains the whole world and loses his own soul? You got to beat the heat. You know, the Bible has many grand themes. Anybody here, here's a survey, anybody here actually ever read the whole Bible? Wow, quite a few of you. Okay, it's a long book. Okay, it's got about 825,000 words, depending on which version you read. There's a lot of words. And the Bible has many grand themes running through it. It talks about social justice. It talks about creation. It talks about wisdom for living. The Bible talks about the end times. It talks about Israel. It talks about eternity. It talks about marriage. It talks about money. It even talks about living in victory and overcoming in life. But the Bible's, everybody needs to understand this, but the Bible's main primary message is about how we can escape hell and be made right with God. Everything else in life and everything else that the Bible talks about is secondary to this overwhelming theme, because nothing else really matters if you're not right with God. If you're not right with God, who really cares if you're keeping the Ten Commandments? You got to get right with God. So the Bible is about salvation. Your salvation is a personal book for you. It's about being rescued from destruction, which makes the Bible actually the ultimate book of hope. Amen. The book of Romans, in particular, explains and explores how a person like you and like me can avoid going to hell and instead have peace with Almighty God. And Romans chapter 8, verse 1, that we just read a moment ago, shrinks that whole glorious message of hope down into one sentence. Therefore, there is now for those Christ Jesus, Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Now, before I continue, obviously I've prayed over this message, but I have a real sense of the Holy Spirit here right now. I don't believe in coincidences, you know. God arranges and directs our lives and guides us, and God wants to speak to people in the service today. I have no doubt about that at all. So don't let anything distract you. I'm only going to speak for about another 15 minutes or so. But this is for you today in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Look at that verse on your screens. You could say, therefore there is now no hell for those who are in Christ Jesus. Some versions of the Bible, I have a modern version, and it actually says, my version of the Bible says, it chooses the words belong to Christ instead of in Christ. But in Christ is a better and far more accurate translation. So that verse you've got on your screens right now is a good translation. Some of your verses actually have a little bit of an add-on. Those who walk not in the flesh but in the spirit, words to that effect. That's actually been an add-on. That's not there in the original translation. That's the correct verse that you've got on your screens for Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Really, really important to understand that. Every word there is really important. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Raises a few questions. First question is, what is this sentence trying to say to us in 2017? What's this sentence actually really mean? And another question I think it raises is, what condemnation? What? Why is that word there? What does that mean? What does this sentence actually mean? And I found over time that the stories and lives of people in the Old Testament of the Bible often provide word pictures to the great truths found in the New Testament of the Bible. That's why it's helpful to read the Old Testament of the Bible. And the well-known story, and everybody in this room's heard this story before, the well-known story of Noah and the ark is a brilliant word picture of Romans chapter 8, verse 1. So if you want to get your head around Romans chapter 8, verse 1, then you need to look again at the old story of Noah and the ark. And watching Russell Crowe play Noah doesn't count. That would have to be one of the worst movies I've ever seen. Where do you get those rock monsters from? Could somebody tell me? It's a load of rubbish. Am I right? Interestingly, this is an interesting scripture. So let's talk about Noah and the ark. It says, this scripture, Matthew 24:37, this is the New Testament. It says, as it was in the days of, so it will be at the coming of the, who's the Son of Man? Jesus Christ. So not only is the story of Noah a great word picture of Romans chapter 8, verse 1, but the story of Noah is also a measuring stick so that you can use to determine how close we are today to the return of Jesus Christ. Concerning the situation, let's start looking at Noah. Concerning the day and times of Noah's day, the Bible says this, that the Lord observed the extent of human wickedness on the earth, and he saw that everything people thought or imagined was consistently and totally evil. So the world during the time of Noah was characterized by consistent wickedness and evil. Now there's a good yardstick to use. So what did God think about that? Well, God responded to man's depravity by pronouncing condemnation and judgment, saying, I will wipe this human race I've created from the face of the earth. Yes, I will destroy every living thing. I am sorry I ever made them. But Noah found favor or grace in the eyes of the Lord. God saw the severe wickedness of people. This is a great message for Mother's Day, isn't it? Praise God. So with a broken heart, you can break God's heart. God had a broken heart. So with a broken heart, God justly and rightly condemned the world to judgment and destruction. We know about these things. And from that moment onwards until God finally sent the destructive rains, all the people of the world lived under God's curse and under God's condemnation. I'll say it again. You know, until the rains came eventually, the people were living under God's curse and under God's condemnation. It's going to rain this afternoon here, isn't it, everybody? When it rains, remember this sermon, amen? But this is a deal. The people in the ancient world still carried on doing life and going about their business much like today. Nothing changed for them. The people did not feel extra cursed. God had pronounced a curse, a condemnation. They didn't feel it. They were not consciously aware of being affected by God's condemnation because they didn't know that God had condemned them. They didn't know about it. On the contrary, life just carried on as normal for them. The sun came up, the sun went down. People went to work, people came home. People got married, people got divorced. People had parties, people had babies. People did life, and people just did what they wanted to do like we do today. And they did it all while ignorantly living under divine condemnation. They didn't know. They did not know that God had passed judgment upon them at all. Nonetheless, they didn't know. Nonetheless, the clock was ticking. The flood was coming. The world in Noah's time was racing towards its expiry date, and nothing could stop that day. They just didn't know about it. The only inkling that the people had about living under condemnation was from Noah. Noah started warning people. He warned them about God's condemnation, the coming judgment, and their need to repent. Who knows that judgment can only be stopped by repentance? You know, that's a whole subject on its own, but it's true. But Noah, to the people, seems so out of touch, just like I probably seem so out of touch right now. Noah seems so out of touch and a little bit fanatical, and so he was largely ignored by the people. Nobody wanted to hear a negative preacher. They wanted to go to a motivational talk instead. Noah was an old-style prophet. Actually, we've got a guy in our church who looks like an old-style prophet. Where's Rick? I think he's out in the foyer, make sure everybody behaves out there. Amen. If you want to know what an old prophet looked like, look at Rick. Anyway, prophets, they bring the message of God, the word of God to a particular group of people at a particular time. So the only way the people could know they were living under condemnation was because God, through Noah, said they were under condemnation. That's the only way they knew. God's word through Noah was the only way the people could know they were under condemnation. It's a remarkable story. And it happened thousands of years ago, even before the New Testament. New Testament, us. New Testament, Noah. Thousands of years before the New Testament. But this is what the New Testament says. It says, then God, explaining the past about Noah, then God used the water to destroy the ancient world with a mighty flood. That's what we're talking about. But this is where it gets scary. And by the same word, the present heavens and earth have been stored up for fire. They're being kept for the day of judgment when ungodly people will be destroyed. This is a disturbing verse. Really disturbing verse, because this passage on your TV screens right now is referring actually to our times. Just as God condemned the ancient world of Noah's time, so God has condemned the world of our time also. But interestingly, there it is in the Bible, but people are still going on doing life. History's still unfolding. People don't feel condemnation. If you went out and asked people on the streets of Gosnells if they feel God's condemnation, they will think that you're crazy and want to know what you're on. And could they buy some? For a reasonable price, amen. See, people, and I understand this, and people are concerned about many things, and like we are, it's life. You know, life goes, we're concerned about our families, you know, too, you know, we're concerned about our health, obviously, and our wealth. You know, you want to make sure you got enough super when you retire. Yeah, we're concerned about all of these things, and maybe a few people even here at Real Life Church. You know, you're concerned about plastic bags. I don't know, or climate change, or Donald Trump, or carbon in the atmosphere. But this is it. But we're not concerned about God's coming judgments, Because such a concept is considered kind of archaic, even offensive, and it actually sounds just plain stupid. Because the sun comes up and it goes back down again every day. Life goes on, man. Life continues like it always does. So nothing's going to change. It hasn't in the past. It's not going to change today. In fact, some people mock and say that we're not under God's condemnation because nothing's ever happened. Here's the New Testament. Here we are. 2,000 years, long time. Nothing's happened. So what a load of rubbish. But this is what the New Testament says. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he is patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to, there it is again, to repent. So how do we know that the world is under God's condemnation if I don't feel it? We only know because God has given us his word, the Bible, that tells us exactly what's going on. You could say that the Bible is to our world like Noah was to the ancient world. We need to read our Bibles. And God warns the world through the Bible and his church about his condemnation of our wickedness and the coming judgment. Now, initially, old Noah and his family, they lived under the same condemnation as everyone else in the world. Noah and his wife went about their business. They sent their kids to school. They did life like everyone else. They shopped at Coles. They were part of the community and they participated in life. No, but this is the thing. Noah was a condemned man like everyone else. However, because of the mercy of God, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Okay? And because he had grace, this was the grace. God spoke to him. God revealed to him about the coming flood and about how he could escape the coming judgment. That's grace. And right now, you might think God doesn't care about you, but you're receiving grace because I'm bringing the word of God to you today. That's grace, you know. So God showed Noah that the construction of the ark, the big boat thing, was Noah's escape from the coming judgments of God. The ark was God's plan of salvation for Noah and for whoever else wanted to get on the ark with him. So Noah, this is the thing. He had to make a huge decision about what God revealed to him. Noah had to firstly decide whether God was actually the one who was speaking to him. After all, perhaps it was his overactive imagination. Or maybe he was being overcome with religious feelings. Is this really God? Secondly, if it really was God, Noah had never built an ark before. No one had. How do you do that? He had to figure that out. Thirdly, ark building would consume all his finances and his super. And when you're 600 years of age, you've got a lot of super. Amen. Amen. And it would destroy his reputation with his friends. So God was placing a big demand upon him. Was he prepared to pay the price? And fourthly, Noah himself did not feel like the world would be judged because there was no evidence. There was no evidence. Everything still looked the same. There'd be no drops from the sky. The birds were still singing. The sun was still shining. So was the judgment really coming? So Noah had to decide whether he believed what God had said to him in spite of how he felt or what others had to say to him. And that's how it is for us today. Should we believe Jesus or should we not believe Jesus? Should we believe Jesus with all his demands upon us or should we not believe Jesus with the consequences of that decision? Do we believe Jesus? Don't we believe Jesus? It was the same for Noah. Nevertheless, the moment Noah chose to believe God and his plan of salvation, the condemnation that was upon the whole world was lifted from him when he believed. Noah became free from the condemnation of God that was upon the ancient world. You could say that Noah became right with God. Noah was still a sinner. He was still imperfect. He still had arguments with his missus and, you know, and had a few issues going on. Who hasn't got issues? Anybody not got issues here today? We've all got issues. But God had showed him a way of escape. Everybody got to get this. God showed him a way of escape. The ark was the way of escape. And Noah believed God and became righteous because of that. In fact, Hebrews 11 says this, by his faith, Noah received the righteousness that comes by faith. Then this is it. Then for many more years, Noah continued to live in the world. Nothing had changed. He continued to live in the world. He was doing life. But he was also building the ark. He was warning the people. But Noah is no longer living under condemnation anymore. Noah was living in the world, but he was not part of the world. I hope this is resonating with somebody right now. You know, one of our memory verses says in Romans 4, verse 24, that God will also count us, as righteous if we believe in Him. That's God, Jesus. When you believe God's plan of salvation through Jesus, then God counts you as righteous, just like He counted Noah as righteous. Then the condemnation upon the world that we've been talking about will no longer be upon you. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You live in the world, but you're not part of the world. You're not under condemnation. You have eternal life. Noah started to build the ark. It took him ages. It took years to build. And the people mocked him as he built the ark. Anybody here been mocked for their faith in Jesus Christ? Ridiculed for your faith in Jesus Christ? And all that time, life was the same. There's no evidence of a flood. People went about their business, no apparent judgment, no flood, but Noah kept faithfully building and preaching, building and preaching, building and preaching. The ark was huge, had plenty of room. So Noah spent a lot of his time inviting people to book their place on the ark. Free, come. We got lots of room for you and your family. Come and be saved from the coming flood. But no one believed him. Many could have been saved, but they ignored the word of God. Then one day, the ark was finally completed. And you all know the story. It's a sad story for those who weren't on the ark. Noah and his family, plus a whole lot of animals, entered into the ark. And then God closed the door. Then the rains fell, just like the world this afternoon, but hopefully not so much. The rains fell. And the floods rose. And the ark started to float. And all those inside the ark were saved from destruction, while all those outside the ark were destroyed. You don't want to be caught on the outside of the ark when judgment comes. The ark lifted up Noah and his family safely above the destroying flood. God was faithful to Noah, and God is faithful to you today. The ark, and you guys are already ahead of me, the ark is a wonderful picture of Jesus Christ. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Just as Noah believed God and thus saved himself and his family, so we too can believe Jesus and be free from the condemnation that's upon the world today. But instead of an ark or boat being our avenue of escape, Jesus Christ is our avenue of escape. Jesus said about himself, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So folks, believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. In conclusion, just as the ark lifted Noah above the raging floods, so on that final day, when we reach our expiry day, on that final day, Jesus Christ will literally lift us above the destruction that will fall upon the world. The dead in Christ will rise first, and then we who are left will be caught up with them to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall be with the Lord forever and ever. The ark finally came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. Some people say this still remains there. I don't know about that. But it came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. And Noah and his family stepped out into a brand new world with brand new opportunities. In a similar way, Jesus Christ will bring us into a new heaven and a new earth where there will be no more condemnation and no more curse. There will be no more pain, no backache, no headaches, no funny knees. There'll be no more crying, no broken hearts. But there will be abundant life and joy and the presence of Almighty God. That's about all I've got to say, ladies and gentlemen. I just want to say this. Everything I've just said, I know is open to criticism this morning. But everything I said today is actually reasonable, logical, and true. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen, amen. Now, the rest of the treasure that is discussed in Romans chapter 8, and we're going to dig away at this, is only yours when you make sure that you are in the ark, when you make sure that you're in Jesus Christ. Can we just pray for a minute? Singers are coming up. We're going to sing a song and we're going to have some fellowship. But everybody, bow your heads and just close your eyes just for a moment. I just got a question I just want to ask you. You know, we come for Mother's Day and I know we're going to have a lot of fun and that's all really, really good. And, I got family too. But I just want to ask you a really important question today. I don't know everybody who's here. I know a lot of people. But the question I want to ask us all is this, is are you in Christ Jesus? It's a good question. Are you in Christ Jesus? Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ? Are you in Christ Jesus? Are you in the ark? Would you believe God today like Noah all those centuries ago believed God? Are you in the ark? Are you in Christ Jesus? If you're not in Christ Jesus, you know, maybe you've been dilly-dallying around, one foot in the world, kind of one foot in the church, you know, not really sure. Well, today I just want to encourage you to be in Christ Jesus, to repent of your sins and say, Lord, come into my heart and life. Jesus, I put my trust in you today. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose again. Will you believe in Jesus today? So with every head bowed, every eye closed, I want to give you an opportunity today to have that condemnation, that curse that's upon the world for our sins, to be lifted from your shoulders. Will you come into Christ Jesus? With every head bowed, every eye closed, this Mother's Day, I'd love to say a prayer for you. If I could pray for you, just let me know who you are by just raising your hand. Don't shout out or anything, but just give me a quick wave of your hand and we're going to pray for you today. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you down the back. Thank you. Anybody else? This Mother's Day. God bless you down the back. Thank you. Anybody else? That's really cool. That's a good thing. It takes a lot of courage, hey, to put your hand up in church. But God right now is just going to bless you. Okay, everybody praying in church right now. Father, we just thank you for Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you've made a way of escape. Thank you, Lord, that you've rescued us. And Jesus is that way. We thank you that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We pray for those right now who've just responded to you. And you're just working mightily in their lives right now. And we've all done things, Lord, sinned. Lord, we all deserve to be condemned. But we thank you for Jesus, our way of escape. And we pray for those who are repenting today, right now, Lord. We lift them before your throne, those who have raised their hands. Lord, whatever they've done, we pray you'll wash their sins away. We pray, Lord, that you'll give them a new beginning, a new heart. We pray that condemnation that's upon the world will be lifted from their shoulders today. We pray today that they will be born again. Lord, we pray that they will be in Jesus Christ. We pray the blessings of Almighty God upon them in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, and they shouted, amen. Can we just say that verse together again? Let's just read, let's stand to your feet. Let's read it out standing to our feet. Here we go. I think you know it anyway. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. One more time. I love hearing speaking in tongues. I messed it up then, I think. Here we go, one more time. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.